Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we discuss business, economics, and everything that, affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. Wherever you are finding yourself, how are you doing? And are you pushing? Are you pushing? Are you contributing to where we want to get into? Are you contributing toward the positive development of the country? Or you are wasting the time and energy that you are given? And remember that when you are growing older, it's also the time that you will find a situation where your energy is deteriorating, not really because you are sick, it's only because in terms of age, in terms of numbers, the energies are also going down. That's why sorrow is important, sorrow is necessary to make sure that you use the time that you have, effectively. We are greeting, the men and the women, particularly those who are sleeping with shoes on their feet. We are greeting the police officers, the law enforcement officers. We are greeting the soldiers. We are greeting those who are protecting our economy. We are also greeting, the paramedics, essential workers, electrical engineers, and also electricians, particularly those who sleep with shoes on their feet, to make sure that they keep the light on. And that should and must always be a fundamental point of, respect and also indication, particularly when you are going back to work and you realize that that of who need much respect is that guy, is that woman who have slept that building, to make sure that your machines are there, to make sure that when you go and also start your work, you are not disturbed, and also you are safe. And we are greeting the economic mover, particularly the Kapana sellers, the men and women who are selling fat cakes, the vendors, and also those who are at the front line of Namibia local economic development, because it is very clear that we are not going anywhere without the contribution of informal economy. That is why we are greeting you today. And also to make sure that you come closer to your radio as we will continue to discuss issues of national, regional, and international importance, especially this time of the morning of the Friday of the 13th of February 2026. Yeah, before we move to the conversation for today, before we go to what we have on the table for today, it's quite necessary, it's very important to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, and also what is happening in the world, and also to see some of the development, particularly that involve politics, trade, health, economics, and also bread and butter issue. And from WHO, from World Health Organization, it is stated that the chief or the head of World Health Organization, that is Tedros Adhanom, has urged United States of America to share the origins of COVID-19 findings. And it is stated that yesterday, World Health Organization have gave a statement indicating that United States of America must be able to share intelligence, especially intelligence that they may be withdrawing, especially that involve the origin of COVID-19 pandemic, even though United States of America is still, or even though United States of America is not part of World Health Organization anymore. But the head of WHO indicated that they need, or the government of United States of America need to share those findings in order for World Health Organization to make sure that it prevent further pandemic, because as we know and we understand that COVID-19 has been, or it was one of the most dangerous pandemic that statistics are indicating that it have killed up to 20 million people, especially during and for the aftermath of the main pandemic. That is why at this point in time, the World Health Organization is asking United States of America to bring those data, because they have been report, they have been reported that United States of America have done a study, or they have enough information that indicating, or information that are showing the origin of COVID-19. However, there has also been you know, counter communication and also counter arguments, particularly when the origin of COVID-19 has been stated to be Wuhan province in China, particularly from the laboratory. However, there have been a lot of discovery, especially from the side of United Nations agency, that is WHO, World Health Organization, and also the US. But you must also be able to question to say, why is Donald Trump, when he get to power last year, January, when he get to power, the first thing is to give a notice to World Health Organization to say, United States of America is going to remove herself from World Health Organization. And that impact only came to being, that impact only came to effect last month, because you have first to give a notice, that is a notice of 1 year before you withdraw. Now is the time, and the US is no more part of World Health Organization. However, there is a demand for that intelligence report. Moving forward, especially when you are speaking about the aspect of continental politics, particularly here in the Southern Africa, it was stated that Zimbabwe Parliament has been, different perspectives, especially regarding the extension of the term of presidents, especially when Zimbabwe cabinet approved the change of the constitution as part of extension of the 83-year-old Emmerson Mnangagwa until 2030. It's indicated that the cabinet has approved the president of Zimbabwe to extend his term until 2030. And those are some of the interesting development. And when you compare when Mnangagwa came to power, when you compare when the president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, came to power, one of the things that he has been speaking about is the aspect of freedom, and also the aspect of him respecting the constitution, because you'll be able to understand that Mr. Mnangagwa came to power after what is regarded as a soft coup, or a removal of the founding president of Zimbabwe, and that is President Mugabe, who led the country for over 30 years. But Mnangagwa in 2017, through military-backed coup, he came to power. And one of the things that he was stating is that he will never seek for additional term. That is one of the things. And if you follow international news, particularly if you look at the old interviews of BBC, you will see him saying even if the people wanted him, he will not extend, because he respects the constitution. But now what is happening is that the cabinet is approved, and we'll also be able to understand that last year the party of Emmerson Mnangagwa in Zimbabwe, that is ZANU-PF, has given him an extension, especially to 2028, due to the aspect it was indicated to say his hard work, and also his contribution to the national development of Zimbabwe. That is, was one of the arguments, but it's a matter of concern to say, in terms of leaving power, why African leaders continue to finding it very difficult to leave power, and why do they have to continue extending? Why do they have to continue, extending the terms of office, regardless of regardless of the time that has expired, regardless of continuation of asking for African leaders to respect the institution of governance, to respect the principles of democracy, and also to abide by the constitution. But what we have seen, if you look for example, for the past 30 years, but you can also narrow it down to say for the past, 10 years, how many of African presidents has changed their constitutions? How many have amended their constitution for them to stay in power? And which country did not try to amend the constitution? We find it very interesting because once a person comes to power, then realize that I don't know if it's resources, I don't know if people really like the person, but they want to extend their rule. They are saying power, you cannot see or you cannot touch power. But once you have power, you will not want to release it because power is sweet, and absolute power corrupt absolutely. And there is a lot of lessons, particularly from political science, when it comes to power. To say power is a very good thing because you have power to influence, to direct, to move things. But that power, if it's not handled properly, can also be the end or the destruction of that person, because power change people. And with their political power, those are some of the things which are happening, especially that side of Zimbabwe. And looking at South Africa, it is noted that rhino poaching in South Africa, particularly in Kruger National Park, has almost doubled, regardless of decline nationally. Is to say, although poaching in South Africa is declining at the national level, within the Kruger National Park, there has been a recorded increase in terms of numbers, especially numbers of rhinos who are poached based on their tusk, based on their horns, and also to be sold in the black market. It was stated that
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
In the black market, it was stated that the statistic has indicated that Africa Kruger National Park in 2025 has experienced an increase in terms of rhino poaching, and the country is a home to the world's largest population of rhinos, which are poached for their horns that fetch high prices, and that is also happening on the black market, especially once a rhino is killed. It's sold at high price, but it's on a black market. Then the question that you're asking yourself is to say, where is that black market that attract, these horns? And what is that Interpol is doing? Because if you look at the beginning of this year, especially when you look at the website of Interpol, when they look at how many of either rhino horns, either it's animals that are being poached, either it's human trafficking, either it's marine animals, you realize to say there's a lot of things going on, particularly in the black market, and you realize that the black market has actually a lot of, I do not want to say a lot of customers, but the black market is not dying soon. The black market is where they sell guns. Ask yourself this question: when all the rebels in Africa have guns, do you think they went through official channels? That is a black market where African governments are going down due to rebels. They are not using weapons from their national defense force. That is a black market. When countries are finding it very difficult, when Namibian young people are struggling with drug abuse and also dangerous substances, That is the black market. Then the question that we should continue asking ourselves is this question to say, what is the ripples? How is Interpol, National Police, are fighting the black market? Do they have equipment? Because the business guys in the black market, they are well armed, they are well informed, maybe they have a high level of intelligence, they have high level of equipment. That is why you always find these things in a circle. And also asking yourself to say, why is it so difficult in the country like Namibia, a small population, but elephants, rhinos are continue to die. Elephants and rhinos are continue to be killed, especially by poachers. Maybe it's now the high time also to say, when we are speaking about economy, especially the economy that is attached to security, and it's inevitable actually to have an economy which is not attached to security. In this regard, what can be done to make sure that those who are attracting tourists, those who are attracting, investment, those who are allowing the expansion of businesses, why can't they be protected? Why do we continue to have records of why we continue to have records of rhinos being poached, animals being poached, not only in Etosha, but in any other areas in Namibia? Why can't we deal with that situation? Because if you look at these statistics, particularly with South Africa, the official statistics are showing that poachers killed 352 of animals last year compared to 420 in 2024. With 175 of the death in Kruger on the border with Mozambique, which has the statistic is up from 88, the previous year. Now, the other thing that you need to understand is also that there are always those people who make time and also opportunity, who take opportunity during chaos. Because remember, from December last year until January, there have been flood, there have been heavy rainfall in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and also South Africa. And one of the challenges there, the danger there, was hurting of tourism. That is why over 200 tourists were airlifted, particularly from Kruger National Park there. But remember that during this flood, animals, wild animals, are also disorganized. But the poachers, they also get opportunity, they get the time through that chaos. Do not think when you have wildfire, everybody who is going to assist in putting down that fire is a firefighter. There are also those who are called opportunistic, those who are smart criminals. I do not want even to say, and maybe infamous criminals who use that chaos to kill animals and also run away with their horns or tusk. One guy who is a risk management analyst was asking me to say, David, look at the case of Etosha last year. Look at the geographical area where the wildfire started, and also look at the time that this wildfire was prolonged. It's almost took 2 weeks. And also look at animals which were hit by that wildfire. You'll be able to remember that we have seen a lot of elephants burnt, some dead, rhinos too. And there was no clear statistics, because when you are putting down fire, David, on this side is cutting the horn. On this side, I'm having a fire extinguisher. On this side, I'm also blocking the way. Or on this side, I'm also lighting another fire. That is why it's quite necessary to understand that when we are speaking about international news, it's quite very important to look at that concept to see how does it relate to Namibia, and what can we do to make sure that we don't just hear news, but we learn from the mistakes of others, we learn from the challenges that others are going through, so that we can be able to protect our country. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today, we'll be able to look at the importance of collaboration, particularly in business and also in the area of farming, because there is a very interesting case study, especially from the practical ground, where you'll be able to see that farmers can have the same hectares of land, they can have the same equipment, they can have the same fundings, but when it comes to the success of their yield, that will also depend on other strategies. And one of those strategies, which we are going to discuss today, is a strategy of collaboration, because there is a saying to say in business, in politics, in jail, and in the street, cooperation is better than confrontation. That is why the philosophy of saying, when you want to move forward, when you want to move far, you need to make sure that you work with other people. And we're going to look at that. And also, we'll be able to be joined by Mr. Johannes. Mr. Johannes, who is a farmer. He's a farmer at Varam Square, or Varam Quere, Green Scheme, that side of Sesfontein. And also going to speak a little bit on the importance of farming, especially to the young people, because when you listen to him and when you listen to the statistics and the calculation that he's giving, you will be also shocked, particularly on how much that Green Scheme is making, and also why it is prudent for Namibian young people to make sure that we venture too into farming, as there is actually more money, especially if you are resilient. But most importantly, we will also be able to look at the quality and also the characters of a strong, effective farmer in Namibia, and what is that you need to do. Because can anybody just become a farmer, or you need to have some element of resilience, or you need to have some qualities that will be able to assist you to maintain that farm, because not everybody who owns a farm is a successful farmer, and not everybody who is a successful farmer got it the first time, and there's also an aspect of resilience and also dealing with challenges. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and as I indicated that today we'll be speaking about the importance of collaboration and also working together. And you know, my visit in Kunene region in the past 4 days, I come to the conclusion that not really in terms of downgrading anybody, also I also come to realization, especially making an assessment, particularly looking at farmers that are working at dry area or climate prone area, looking at the investment in these farmers, and also what they made out of this investment. I got into a conversation with Mr. Johannes Wanepo, and he's an experienced farmer since younger age. He indicated that he started farming at a very younger age, and he made wealth out of it. But through our conversation, and also through seeing what other farmers are doing, what he is doing, you know, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, us black people, with much respect, is that in terms of the way we deal with business, we have failed at some point. And we must admit that we did not fail because we are not able to do the job. We did not fail really because we did not have enough equipment, particularly in the area of farming. We have failed because we have failed to realize the potential, the skills, and also the capabilities of others. That is now where we bring the aspect of collaboration, to say what you see within Namibian young entrepreneurs and also medium entrepreneurs, what you see is the aspect of saying, I am David, I'm the one who found this one, and it's either me, and if it's not working, I will not look for any assistance. That's why in making an assessment, especially looking at Frans Fontein, looking at, you know, Valam Quelle, looking at also Cis Fontein, one of the things which stood out is this: to say, among all the farmers which I have visited and I have seen, is that although these farmers got almost the same investment to boost their yield, failure catch up with those who realized to say they were going to succeed alone. Not really to say they did not know what they were doing, but they have underestimated the pressure that is coming with owning, maintaining, and also making the farm that you are doing profitable. Is cutting across the board. Either is animal farming, either is you know, crop farming. Because what I have realized is that as debate, as statistics goes through in boardrooms, in planning areas, in the corporate sector, in an NGO, in boardrooms, in government sector, as debate goes on, it's the same that debate go on in the field. But it's also interesting also to see one individual who have a majority share in the firm indicating to say, I cannot do it alone. Indicating to say a commercial firm, a community firm, an individual firm cannot succeed, particularly in this time of climate change, without cooperation of others. If you are good at management, there is always that who has skills. And there is an indication to say a best leader is that of who understand, identify, and also, you know, identify talents and experience and, you know, expertise from others. That is why I come to realize that when I went to Frans Fontein, there were many farmers who, especially smallholder farmers. One is given an investment. Let me give a practical example of getting 21 goats and moving forward with those goats. You have a project.
Celebrate your loved ones with ShopRite this Valentine's Day with a wide range of everything you need for the perfect gift. Celebrate love and low prices with great deals like a 200-gram Ferrero Rocher chocolate for only $142.99 each. And you're all mine and I'm all yours coffee mug, two per pack, for just $49.99. Celebrate love and low prices this Valentine's Day. Offers valid until 15 February 2026. Only at ShopRite.
And moving forward with those codes, you have a project that after the production, after those you know, goats give birth, then you are going to give away back those 21 goats, or 20 rather. Then you remain with the bull, then also what you have produced out of that. Then I've also realized to say all those who have an approach or individualistic approach, maybe because they did not know, but this is my conclusion, they struggle so much. Some, they are, you know, head almost, you know, their animals almost vanished. But there's one woman who did something interesting to say no. She is given 21 goats. And then she realized to say, I need to use or utilize the best skills which I have with my son, with my daughter, is also the assistants in the farm, to understand that while I'm busy preparing for the food, while I'm busy fixing the fence, others are looking at the safety of those goats. While I'm busy trying to understand the cause of the disease, others are busy doing research or coming up with alternatives. That is why the aspect of saying we may all be in the same class, but when we may all have the same teacher, when the results come out, then one is ahead of others. And it also gave me a different perspective also to say, when we advocate for the removal of redline, is the same thing that we do when we are advocating for total financial inclusion. We must also not neglect the aspect of investing in new knowledge, investing in successful strategy. That is collaboration. And you'll be able to listen to the interview, particularly which I got into with Mr. Swanpool, who indicated that, you know, the young men who are buying Mercedes-Benz in Windhoek, one of my tractors is not even, that Benz is not even closer to one of my tractors. That is what he indicated. And looking at the production, looking at the chain of trade, then I was so impressed. Then I asked myself a question to say, why our farmers, particularly our subsistence farmer at the north, at the south, cannot do the same? Why are they not able to realize that they need to be a lot? Why can't we take away the aspect of somebody come and sabotage me? Maybe if we have that approach of partnership, then unnecessary competition at the bottom will come to an end. We have seen, let me give you an example with much respect. If you go to the northern part of Namibia, for example, anyone who owns a business is known. Everybody who owns a shop is known. Anybody who owns some means of income is known. But when you ask yourself who owns, for example, F&B, who own a ShopRite, who own Women Block, maybe when you dig, you find founders. But you realize that you also have partnership. You realize that these people were not able to build such a bigger institution without assistance of others. And it's interesting also to see also in an individual point of view to say, can you really make it in life without other people? Can you really succeed without other people? Is it enough to have just intelligence? Is it also enough just to have individual ownership? Yes, you may succeed, but you understand already that we are running a dangerous race, that if it's only you and you got sick, if it's only you and you got distracted, but you did not share those information with others who are closer to you, or you are still operating solo, then when you vanish, everybody vanish. Then to look at that aspect is to say, why Ubuntu? I'm who I am because of others. That very beautiful philosophy of collaboration, of African philosophy, why can't it be used in business? And maybe where did we go wrong? And what can we do when we realize that we have done that mistake? Because that is my conclusion, particularly when you look at an investment, for example, of 164 million into climate resilient. And with much respect, I have seen one Tate who invested in banana production. He was in the middle of a semi-desert. Yes, the banana, they have started growing. But what stopped this man, to expand his business is technical challenges of infrastructure. When the pipe burst, the amount of money that piling up on that stopped the whole system. Then my question is that, have you ever thought of partnering with others? Could it be different if there was somebody with just money to put into that business? If there was somebody with just skills to put into that business? Because we have been told that a sole trader can reap all the benefit. But when a sole trader reaps all the disadvantage, some people, they do not recover. Some people do not recover because there's no one to advise you. And I also come to realize that it does not only happen in farming. It happens in various sectors of life. There are also those who do not, go and seek advice. Then it changed my whole understanding, because I also realized that sometimes being in the field, operating a farm, is something which is very difficult actually.
is something which is very difficult because it's not about only climate. It's also about supply chain. It's also about the market. Because what I have realized is that those who partnered, they have high yield. When they have high yield, it's easy for them to be accepted by other business people who can be able to trade their products. But that of who's single, even when they presented their proposal, it's not my saying, it's what I say. Even if they present their proposal of maybe supplying to a certain shop or certain business, they are rejected because there is no clear sustainability in terms of production. Because once a business got into a contract with a smaller businesses, its expectation is that they expect a certain level or certain volume of products continuously. But with a sole trader, once that time is not over, the day a sole trader is not in the mood, the day a sole trader ran out of cash, the day a sole trader ran out of ideas, the day a sole trader also overwhelmed, then that business come to an end. Maybe it's now the time that we realize to say we must risk it to partner. When we open the red line, and I have a feeling that it's going to open at one point because studies have been indicated and there's big studies. I have a feeling that it's going to open. If it opens, how many of us who own 2 to 20 cattle in the northern part of Namibia can be able to supply the European market? Just for an example, just to challenge ourselves, I do not want to say that is that should be the reason why the red line should not be removed. But when we remove it, how many of us are we going to collaborate? We are still going to fight to say no, it's my cattle first, it's my God. Instead of forming a corporation, let me ask you this question. How many of Namibians, particularly in the sector of farming, stood up? How many of Namibians stood up and say, I'm going to collaborate with others? I remember there was an argument to say, no, these guys, they formed Meatpod. They want, to monopolize. They want to counter Bitcoin, all these things. But I realized to say, why can't we compete at a bigger level where we are united? And also maybe to say the business or the current economy was not part of our African upbringing, to say why were Namibians so united to fight apartheid government during the liberation struggle, but they are not united to fight for economic emancipation? Why are we not like that? And this is also being seen to say, do you really think that we can move forward with the strategy that we are using? Because continue using the same thing over and over for a very long time and it's not working is what Albert Einstein, one of the scientists or physicists indicated, that it's a recipe to failure, or indicated that it's not intelligence. And there's another word which was used to say continue using the same strategy over and over and it's not working. It's lack of a good mind, if you understand what I mean. Now that we praise each other so much about collaborating during the liberation struggle, people working together in and out, sharing intelligence, some are sent to training, some are sent to school, then after all we form a government, then we are here, we are stuck. In mining, we are not working together. One get the Karito share, one get the Karito quota, one get Karito business deal, then it ends there. Maybe the reason we are not entering into real business of mining, maybe because we are not also seeing the necessity of entering there prepared, standing, and also united. There is one thing that we should learn from Mary. We cannot learn everything from Mary based on their structure of government and the way they do things. But one thing that brought them together, particularly in terms of mining, is that they realized, we say, no, we are coming up with a national company that is going to compete and that is going also to control the operation of mines in that country. But for you to come up with that, you don't only need government, you also need effective, wealthy business Malian who can be able to defend that institution and pump in money. So I think looking at that, and I want you to listen properly. I want you to listen properly, especially when Mr. Johannes will be able to present his argument, particularly the argument of the production, and knowing exactly when he is speaking it and saying we produce, it's not only him. He is a manager. He might be the majority shareholder, but there's also a community involved. Then one of the things he indicated is also that, you know, I find it very difficult in this area to find good people with technical skills. And there's also something which made me to laugh, also to realize, to say, somebody has a community farm which does not only benefit him commercially, but due to maybe our lack of understanding, we started, you know, we find those who start sabotaging. How can you steal a fence from a community green scheme that is not only commercially, but it's also putting the price of fresh produce down? Why do we do that? Because there is a thing in our mind to say, it's David's business, I'm going to destroy it. It's David's business, I'm not going to benefit from that. Why are we not looking at the bigger picture? Could it be that we lost the bigger picture a long time ago, that we need to wake up from those, you know, from that, you know, dream of an individualistic dream? Because I think it's really changed the way I look at things.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe wiyako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanma ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu ne ngono lando kashako oko KG mwe ele keke jidili mbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli otali kulmo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondo maeveja vaino milongo mpani na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Because I think it's really changed the way I look at things. I thought operating a farm, operating a green scheme was an easy thing. And I also start questioning to say, did we also like maybe that spirit of ours, that is ours? Maybe that's why you find, look around green schemes before they were revived in Namibia. Look around them before they were revived. Go to records. People do not have ownership of, they just think they are working, but really they know that the effort, the pure effort that they are putting into those, you know, on those work, will yield results not only for them, but also for their family. So I think, looking at, the conversation moving forward, the deal is here. NDP6 can be realized only if the majority of Namibians realize that running a solo in a strategy which allow us to collaborate, then we shoot ourselves in the foot. Running a solo game in a strategy that requires everybody to go on board will be able to, you know, running a solo game will be the end of us. You can also take it to the education sector. Now that there are strategies to smooth and iron things out, when curriculums are changing, people are on the other side. When universities were starting last month, there has still been an argument to say, no, this one are moving in this direction. We are not accepting these people, or there are certain requirements that are required here and certain requirements that are not required here. But little did we know that we have the same goal of sending these people who are trained, maybe at the same field, but different institutions, but they are trained to go into that, into that same market. But the acceptance and challenges is because we are not collaborating. And this is a question that you need also to ask yourself to say, why do you want to raise good children if you are not talking to your neighbor who see the behavior of your children when you are at work? Why do you want to raise good children if you are not talking to people in the community who see what your children are doing when you are not there? Would it be different if we go back a little bit and realize to say our ancestors were very clear to bring about the thing of community, to bring about the thing of if there is hunger, you go to the neighbor and you ask for salt. It's not only about salt. It's also when there is shortage in terms of advice that you go to the neighbor and also ask for advice. And you find it among the communities of our white counterpart, they have a different approach. They have a completely different approach, because we think they are not only operating as relatives, but they are looking at each other as partners. But black people, my dear, I have to tell you, being in informal sector, particularly in the area of doing research, I have seen people fighting for a space. They are also saying the same thing. I have a bucket of fat cakes. Hermod has a bucket of fat cake, and Dwight has a bucket of omawungu. But just because that space is me who came into, I do not want Dwight to sell in that space. Instead of me saying, okay, chief, I see that the omawungu you are selling, the caterpillar you are selling to these people are so tasty, are so beautiful. Why can't we come up with a restaurant? When you come up with a restaurant, because I know I'm not good with finance, maybe Hermut will be able to be a financial guy. Then I'll be a marketing guy. Then Dwight will become a cook, just for giving an example. Because that philosophy is a philosophy that will take us where we want to get into. Because I have seen much, there is one thing that that has been spoken, particularly to those who, have been in tourism sector, to say a lion can only defeat an unorganized group of hyenas. But when hyenas organize themselves, a lion will start running. And I don't want to blame this on apartheid, because it has been for a very long time that we have been colonized. We may have apartheid legacy, but you also understood that when those who went before us and fight, they were fighting for unity. When those who went before us to the liberation struggle and fought for this freedom that we have, they did not want a party division. But after that, everybody standing on his own. Look at what is happening. Look at the politics we are playing. I do not want to say all political parties must come together. Get me correctly. You end up realizing that if you test the ideologies, if you test the positions, you realize that we all want the same thing. But because I want to be the founder, I want to be the captain, I want to be the president of the party, I want to be, we are not agreeing on each other. Take a simple study and a comparative analysis, then you look at political parties. Take the issue of land, take the issue of unemployment, take the issue of petroleum. bill, and I've seen that now a lot of political parties, they combine their ideas and they are speaking the same thing in terms of petroleum bill. But is that not telling us that it's more than what we see? Is that also not telling us that when we come to the point of where we want to get into, we realize that we also have the same vision? If everybody wants to succeed, everybody wants to send their kids to better school, everybody wants a better life, everybody wants a future. But we are still in 100 years ago, we are still operating in the law of the jungle. We are still at a cutthroat competition at the bottom. And cutthroat competition at the bottom will bring a lot of chaos. Cutthroat competition at the bottom, we also believe, also bring a lot of, doubt. We also start asking ourselves, maybe black people are not good with farming. Maybe black people we are not good with having an established, competitive, globally competitive businesses. Because there's some person just indicated to say, man, why do we have, for a very long time, show me a globally competitive Namibian business? And I was looking around. And I realized to say, it's not really because as Namibians, we do not have money or skills. It's only that we still in that aspect. I want to be the first black guy who is born after independence who reached this level. Why do you think SMEs stay many years in the incubation centers? Because these guys want to be seen. Why should I get an award instead of my team getting an award? And be proud of that. It is a behavior that is seen. If you are an analyst and you see what we see, especially on social media, individual life, if you see there is a lot of I am, I do. I was the first guy. I was the first lady to do this. Then you realize that we have a long way to go. Because in conversation with this guy, he also stated that, when you pass through Tsumeb, the maize that we like eating, he was the manager of one of those farms there. But they are managing with others. He called them his colleagues. They are Namibians. Yes, some upright black people too, if you want me to say so. But every time we go to a Shivero, it's always need to make sure that at least I buy maize. But have you ever asked yourself the question to say, how come all these guys who are employed here, who are selling butternuts, making a lot of money, where is the main source of this fresh produce? Can you not make it at the north? Can you not make it at the south? Can you not make it at Omaheke? Can you not make it in Kunene? And looking at that literature of individualism, maybe now is also the time that we'll be able to open our eyes and also move forward as a country. And it should not only speak to those who are doing business, but also speak to us young people. Maybe the reason we fail also in life, in relationships, in many sectors, because we think we are. Maybe we don't want people to see that we do not know things. But they are saying an intelligent person is that of who understands his limit. But yeah, dear listeners, you'll be able to listen to Mr. Johannes, Swanepoel, and look at our conversations, and we'll be able to engage further, particularly on that line. So stay tuned, because we are going to be here, as it has always been, until the hour of, 8 in the morning. So we'll look at the conversation, particularly with the manager of Fala Mkwele, Prince Kim, in Sesfontein, in Kunene region, in a dry, arid condition where, you know, it's only the tough guy. It's only those who understand the importance of the team. And it's also an area where the individualistic, maybe not by choice, maybe through lack of knowledge, we're not able to make it. And I'm feeling very sorry for them, especially those who did not make it, particularly looking at such a great investment invested into them and also into their community. Maybe this is also a point that will also allow us to learn one or two things. So stay tuned.
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of food security and also how we can promote Namibia national developmental priorities. And it has been stated that one of the aspects of NDP 6 is to make sure that Namibia is self-sustaining and also to cut that, you know, dependency to our brother South Africa, where we import more than 50% of our food. However, today in the conversation, I'm joined by a farmer and a farm manager here in Sesfontein, and many kilometers. I'm happy to indicate to you that I'm in the corner of Namibia, but also to look at dry climate, and also to say living in a dry place is not an excuse that you'll be able to produce your own food. But in this conversation, we'll be able to talk about the green scheme that he's managing, and also challenges and opportunities, and also to get a perspective about what are the costs involved, what are the technical know-hows of farming, and all those things that are related to, you know, food security. Mr. Johannes, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Early Morning Scoop.
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Anna Sanapul. I'm farming here in these green screen projects in the Kunene region, in a semi-desert.
Yeah.
Very hot, warm conditions.
Yeah.
So to come to your food security,
yeah,
it's very, very important. We import from all our neighboring countries. More than we...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
More than we should.
Yeah.
So the benefits of farming, I always tell people, you think farming is for poor people, but yeah, it's not true.
Yeah.
If you have the know-how, and you can work hard, can work long hours, then farming is a very profitable business. Like I said, we produce at the moment between 4,000 heads of maize weekly, half a ton of green pepper weekly, maybe 2 tons of butternuts weekly. I don't want to go into the details of the finances, but you as a Namibian citizen can imagine for yourself when we sell them where how much money we make. So farming is not for poor people.
Yeah.
And Namibia, especially Namibia, needs more farmers.
Yeah.
I know it's tough with water.
Yeah.
But there is ways of farming where you can use less water, safe water.
Mm-hmm.
You've got dripper systems, irrigation systems that can make farming profitable with less water.
Yeah. Mr. Johannes, let us look at, I've observed how you manage, some of these, farms. And, you, as
it is incorporated, you also understand the in and out, the numbers, how much is invested and all these things. Is it coming with experience, or how do you come to this point? Because it's just a boardroom in the field, especially when you're giving presentation. Maybe can you speak about your experience and also how you came to this aspect?
Yes. I think it's, first of all, before the experience, it's the willingness, mm-hmm. the fight in yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the experience, very important, because when you make a mistake, you lose money. And then that's what happens with especially small farmers coming up. Mm-hmm. You invest your money, and then because of the lack of experience, you make a mistake, mm-hmm. boom. It's finished. You are not farming anymore. Yeah. So if you want to start, like we did, we invested a lot. Yeah. We also made some mistakes.
Yeah.
We call it paying school fees. Yeah. So, but you learn, and then you don't give up, never give up. So you invest, you lose some, you win some, but you gain the experience, and then the more experience that you gain, the more successful you'll be.
Uh-huh. Now, let us look at a farmer that want to succeed. I call you a good farmer because of things that I have seen. Maybe you can speak about qualities of, I don't want to say a successful farmer, but quality of a resilient farmer who can also face situations, because situation can also be tough and all those things. But what are some of the key qualities that keep you moving as somebody who is not only managing one farm, but more than one?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think of myself like that, but I know I'm just a very hard worker.
Yeah.
And I can make, you have always have to have a plan. Don't walk away from something without having a plan for the next day or the week after. And I think as a Namibian, I think all Namibians has a resilient, resilience is in our blood.
Yeah.
Because of the struggles that we've been through in Namibia. So there is resilience, I think, in each and every Namibian. So the resilience is there. It's just to go get it. Start. If my mother used to tell me, if you start, then you'll finish. But if you don't start, then there's nothing.
Just before maybe
I can also I always try to inspire a bit by saying if you sit on the couch every day, you cannot make a mistake. So that's the part of farming. You do make mistakes, but you learn from them, and then you go forward. But if you sit in one spot on a couch every day, then you'll never make a mistake.
Let us look at the support of Namibian farmers. We look at the NDP6, and also the 8th administration is looking more on investing in Namibian green scheme and also upgrading. You, as a farmer, do you think enough was done, especially when it's coming to assisting either the smallholder farmers or also the commercial farmers or middle farmers in the community? Do you think enough was done? And as an experienced farmers, also maybe also touch on the aspect of what do you think need to be done again to keep those operations sustainable?
As a farmer that have been farming in Namibia for more than 20, 30 years on various farms throughout the country, I have experience, and I know that the Namibian government supports farmers more than some of our neighboring countries. So I can compliment our government in the way that they support farmers, from small farmers to big farmers. For instance, if we have a lot of tomatoes, they close the border, the Namibian Economic Board, so that we can sell our local Namibian product, which is one of the rarest countries that does that in Africa. So what needs to be done more is from our youth. Young people need to be encouraged more to farm. I know as a young Namibian, driving a Mercedes-Benz in Windhoek is the dream. If our youth gets involved in farming with the help and the support of government, and even your family at home, then Namibia will become one of, or can become 100% sustainable in supplying our own product in our own country, and from there start even exporting.
Yeah, maybe the while we are at young people, there is also an aspect of making agriculture, somebody say make agriculture sexy or attracting, because in other aspect, when you see advertisement of agriculture things on the poster, just see an old woman eating a maize or something. But do you think that is one of the things that is not attracting young people to agriculture, or the or there is no clear information, especially those who are learning?
Yeah, I think to come to the young people and the word that you use, make agriculture sexy. Yeah, it starts with yourself as a person. But I can promise you, one of my tractors cost more than the Mercedes Benz that you want to drive. So people want to live the fast life.
But
agriculture, if you start, especially when you're young, I can promise you it will sustain you and your whole family for generations to come.
Okay, just while we are there, maybe the last question is about value addition. Apart from production, do you think Namibians, we have capacity to add value to our products? And also in that, what are some of the challenges also that we have faced through experience also, especially when it comes to value addition? Apart from now selling tomatoes, how can we make tomato sauce? Or apart from selling certain juice, I mean certain citrus, how can we make juice out of that? Do you think that is the way to go? Do you think there are challenges in that line?
Yes, they are very much big challenges. So one of the things that we are looking at right now, we plant green peppers, and they acclimatize and grow very successfully here in this area, which we need to keep in mind. No use in planting something that will not grow in this climate.
Comes with
the experience. But we are looking in the long term starting producing paprika spice. That's a family of green pepper, and that will go then. Then paprika spice gets exported to South Africa and neighboring countries, and then that goes from producing them, growing them, to setting up a factory, to get them into a paprika spice. So that is something that we look at. And to come back to our youth again, I just want to add something. We have to remember that it doesn't matter what you do, and how much is in your pocket. Every small thing that each and every one of us does makes a difference to the country as a whole. And then to add value, yes, I also believe strongly in that. It's not just about planting tomatoes. We need to, with the right support and the right experience, go forward in producing things like tomato sauce, for instance.
Yeah, just two words. If you have to advise somebody who is willing to venture into farming, either is to study agriculture or just retired and is just a plan, but people are also scared of investing in agriculture. Just two words that you have to this person, especially if you want to enter this, I think it's a profitable zone, but also require a man or somebody with strength to move in that area. What are two ways that you have to give to this person?
I can say then just never give up. Just keep fighting.
Mr. Swanepo, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, bro, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. you have heard it yourself. Say, those who have money, those who have wealth, are advising us. And it's not too late to learn. And it's also very important to share this information with everybody, especially when, you know, he is telling you to say, one of the young people's dream, of our dream, is owning a Jeep or a Mercedes Benz. But
when he is explaining to us that, yes, it can be a very good investment. It can be a first life and status. But what am I getting from that? And it's also indicating that starting from a very young age, agriculture will be able to sustain you. Will be able to sustain you. And also without, you know, being stingy with information, and also without, you know, not recognizing the work that has been done. He stated that it's only in Namibia, in SADC region, especially when it comes to, you know, controlling of what is coming in and out. To say if Namibia Agronomic Board is trying to save us, why are we not saving ourselves? If they are saying, okay, now in Namibia only sending in 20 chicken because David has 200 chicken that can sustain all Namibians, why can't we cross the border respectfully? Why can't we own our own market? And also, why are we not interested in doing what is right? Was it our orientation from home? And also ask yourself this question also, to say how many of us were motivated that food production is the center of the economy? How many of us were not, how many of us were motivated to say when it comes to the center of the economy is food production? And also how many of us also compare Namibia food production with other countries? And when we are speaking about, for example, youth fund, have we really stopped and rethink to say, yes, we want investment in different industries, but is agriculture prioritized? And I've seen, especially when you look at young people, ourselves included, and I was looking at, you know, when young people were trained, particularly with National Youth Service too, to say, yes, our priority is to get into defense, is to get also into, you know, the police, and also is also to get into the jobs that will be able or that has been seen to say they are assisting us. But before we wake up and think about going to those, you know, you wake up and think about going to those kinds of jobs, first we have to eat. After eating, we have to wear something made of leather.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
After eating, we have to wear something made of leather. After that, we also have to make sure that lunchtime we also eat, but you also spend on your family. And I've asked this man, particularly of the records, especially because I was trying to look at the employees, I was trying to look at the partners involved, and I was also trying to look at who supplied them in the middle of this dry desert, who supplied them with food. Then I have also realized to see the whole farm is self-sustaining. The whole farm is self-sustaining. There is no incoming unless it's money. People are fresh and they are eating from fresh produce and they are sustained by the farm. And my question is always to say, why can't we expand it? There is also one thing that was mentioned, particularly resilience, to say you have to pay the school fee. We have to pay the experience fee. There was a point he indicated that he tried carrot, but due to the type of soil, they have learned a lesson. Because you have to pay everything in Namibia, you have to pay. Even getting information, you have to pay attention.
You may think you are listening, but if you are not paying that attention, you are also not getting this information. Yes, they are intended to come into your ears. And the other thing that Mr. Johannes has mentioned also, apart from resilience, is also about love. You must love what you are doing. You must have a passion. And maybe looking into the future, that will be what is going to save us. Because what I have learned is that when I'm going forward, I also don't need to not invest. If I buy my two goats while I'm here working, I have to make sure that I send them to Andreas, who has a farm. If I buy my two chicken, I have to send them to Andreas, who has a farm. Then put a little investment there, because that is money in another form. Because we don't need to say everybody must leave their job and go to the farm. But to understand that the investment in food production should be a priority to everybody. If you have a good land, why are you not able to have a backyard garden? There is something that everybody must learn, particularly from our friends from Zimbabwe. We may speak challenges of Zimbabwe. The politics of Zimbabwe is also here and there. But one thing, the skills of survival that I have learned, particularly from our Zimbabwean counterpart, is food production. When a Zimbabwean brother and sister come to your place to rent, particularly in areas where they are renting, they see a very small piece of land just behind their flat. Then it's like a green garden. There's green pepper. There is, there is chili, tomatoes, and everything. Then you understand how come this guy is selling brooms, but is able to afford a room of 3.5 and he has food. Then you realize to say this guy is also self-sustaining. There is much to learn from this guy. He come to your country, we are crying of lack of opportunities. He come and cutting the cost the time he arrive, because the money that he was supposed to spend on buying food is the money that he is saving just by watering the garden that is behind his flat. Then you realize to say, I think we really need to wake up. We really need to, collaborate and also move forward. And moving ahead with Early Morning Scoop, understand that somebody said we should not speak about Valentine's anymore. But Valentine is tomorrow. And let's get into with peace and love. But also remember that we have a long way to go. Because this year, it's a different year compared to other years, particularly looking at either the education sectors. We have just a settling government which came in, the 8th administration. We have NDP-6 is speaking about Namibia become food sustaining. It's speaking about food security. It's also speaking about not only in terms of agriculture, it's also speaking about other resources, especially in the line of extending the products that we are producing. Extending, the products that we are producing, there is an aspect of value addition. You know, my colleague, Lisa Shemi, at one point reported about one guy who produced, numbers of peanut butter. And my question is always to say, is this guy not being seen by others, particularly those who have money so that they can invest in this person? And my question is always to say, is this Namibian who have started with initiative at a lower scale not be seen by those who have fund? Because his success is not only going to be a good story in terms of going against the odds, but his success will also put the price down. You know, look at when Ihakautu project was harvested. Look at the price of potato. Was that not a beautiful thing? Was that not a beautiful thing? Because this is challenging to the status quo. Look at the price of potato. And Namibians were shocked, especially with the Ihakautu project. It started, and people were making fun of this to say, no, we are able to produce Ihakautu, we are able to produce potato. But if you ever look at the price of potatoes, if you ever look at the market, because nobody can come and say, we are not getting clients. But the challenge, particularly from the domestic farmers, from the domestic people, especially in terms of the price of goods, because, you know, Namibians, we cannot afford anything if we are not producing anything. That should be very clear. Statistics have shown that we cannot afford food if we are not producing our own food, if we are not producing our own electricity. And that should be very clear, because if you don't have food and electricity, where are you standing? And there's always this, especially to us young professionals, speaking about paying the bills. It's only about the bills moving in and out. But let's do where we can. When our government is prioritizing nuclear, why can't we deal with the food issue? If I'm not being able to be in the farm, why can't I buy my own two goats and put to somebody who has? Because what I have seen is that the fight always starts even before the business has started. The fight always starts even before the business has begun. No, you are not going to be at my farm. This is me who own it and all these things. But can we try? Can we try to pick ourselves up? Or it's too late? But it's never late. And the big man of farming has indicated to say, if you are sitting at a coach, you'll never make a mistake. And if we are not encouraging each other, if we are not opening our mind, we'll continue to be fanned by the few. And these few people, if they live, these few collaborative people, if they don't push, the price of everything will go up. And there's nobody who can change that price. We can speak about the price of bread continue increasing. But what is that, that we don't have to produce our own bread? We can speak about the price of vegetables going up. We can speak about the price of, oil going up. But what is that that we can do to make sure that those commodities are dealt with? I still want to know, and I'm still looking, especially when it comes to value addition. I'm still looking around Namibia, and also to see, maybe by March we are going to have statistics of if the agenda of value addition was answered. We need to look at that ground to say, was the agenda of value addition answered? Do we have 2 to 3 farmers who are not only packing, but are coming with a final product? Somebody laughed when I say we should make pizza out of frogs, or pizzas out of, caterpillar worms. Even pizzas out of omangiri. Why do we eat something that we cannot add value to? Make pizza out of frogs. There's nobody who does not eat frogs. Maybe you'll be a game changer in the northern part of Namibia. Also maybe in the southern part of Namibia. One was making fun of the market of There is a market in China where people are selling dog meat. There is a market in China where people are selling, dog meat. And somebody was making fun of that. But these are not just ordinary dog, well fed. And they also find a product made out of that. If you are eating a burger, if your favorite food is advanced, what is so wrong with that? Why can't we have burgers where we put caterpillars and all these things? Why can't we be creative? But the question is that even if there is a willing, do we have practical leaders too who go on the ground and do what they say? Because one thing that must also be very clear, although everything start and end with leadership, we must also build that relationship, that collaboration too, especially to the institutions that were supposed to train people to add values. And maybe it's also now the time to also ask questions to say, when you look at agricultural schools, are they teaching people to work in the agricultural sector just to be employees of the farm, or they are really training people also to do more research and come up with the final product? How many of, clothes are made in Namibia, particularly leather clothes? How many are made in Namibia at a larger scale? But if you go back and ask a question to say, before the clothes of cotton came into Namibia, how many people were using skin as their clothes? What went wrong? Because we have started already, we only did not finish what we have started. Could it be the right time that now that we know, now that we have seen what the world is doing, now that we have seen the changes in global politics, that we can do what is ours? And when are we going to make our president proud too? Because she has shown no positivity in Namibians. Or we are just going to let NDP 6 down? Why can't we make an attempt to give the final blow to Vision 2030? Because if we were in the ring with Vision 2030, we lost a lot of rounds, but that is not the end. We have lost a lot of rounds, but the game is not yet at the end until the bell rings. Why can't we make not only our president proud, but our country proud too? And it's also a matter of asking myself a question to say.
Short on cash? Get your USave for these super savings. 1 liter long life Nam Milk full cream milk, just $19.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U brand cornflakes, just $39.99 Namibian dollars. 100 milliliter aqua fresh toothpaste, just $19.99 Namibian dollars. 2 kilograms of Rice King parboiled rice, also $39.99 Namibian dollars. And pay only $109.99 Namibian dollars for a 10 kilogram bag of Top Score Super Maize Meal. Hurry to your favorite USave and save now.
And it's also a matter of asking myself a question to say, what we do, how many lives are we impacting? Am I sharing right information, or am I just, glorifying myself? And can we also assist each other in this journey that we want to build our country? Because what have killed us as a country is you being the first black person to do that. That is a mentality that have killed a lot of people. Not death in terms of physical death, but in terms of going forward. Why can't we be the first? Because if you listen properly, and those who have wealth, they are saying we. But I want to be the king of the street. I want to buy every lady a Savannah dry. But is that really where we are? Is that really what they want? Maybe it's also a generation that we're going to be awakened later. But now that we have information, why can't we analyze those information? Now that we'll be able to have data, why can't we use those data to our advantage? What does it mean? What does it mean when Meme Emily is saying we are closing the border? What is that message telling you as a farmer of watermelon, as a farmer of butternut? Ask yourself the question, who is feeding our school hostels? Where are the food that is being fed to our prisoners, to our police officers, to our defense? You'll also be shocked that it is compromising if you have your defense being fed by another nation. What if you got into argument with that? Although that warfare is not allowed, but you'll be compromised because they know when to feed you. They feed you with maybe less quality. Ask yourself, who is supplying the defense force of China with food? And who is supplying the Russians? Who is supplying the Ukrainian with food? And the Americans? Are the food from outside? Because before you go to war, which we are not going, before you use your power, look at who is feeding you. And there's always a question, there's always a phrase to say, who is feeding you is the one who is controlling you. And when are we going to be independent economically, and when are we going to be sustainable? So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Remember, we are here until the hour of 8, and the conversation for today is collaboration, is food security, and also is to look ahead, particularly when we're at the beginning of the year, to see what we need to do, where, how do we need to invest in the future, and also how can we share right information that not only going to benefit us as an individual, but also as a nation. Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, especially when we are looking at issues of economic development, but at the center of argument is also how should you help yourself when others are also assisting you. Because there is a tendency in Namibia, and also something that we really need to discuss, especially when individuals are speaking about the aspect of laziness, and also the aspect of you waiting for somebody to do something to you while you are not assisting yourself. And there was a time I was listening to the former ED for Minister of Finance, especially giving a presentation on social welfare. And Dr. Humavindo at one point was indicating to say, you know, Namibia, we should not continue depending on social grants. Because if you look at our Namibian budget, it's always contradictory to where we are going. Because as it has been indicated to say, you need a plan before you go somewhere. One must be able to realize that if we are speaking about a Namibian plan, and we are comparing Namibian plan with our national budget, you will find a little bit of contradictory, particularly when it comes to the investment that we put. What are we spending money on? And what are we investing money on? That is a fundamental question that you need to ask. When you understand the question of what are you investing money in, and also what are you focusing on, then you'll be able to realize that there is a lot of things that you actually need to change. Because if you look at the direction of industrialization, the direction of value addition to products, and also the direction of creation of employment, ask yourself this question: how much money in our previous or in our national budget is invested in where we are going? You cannot, and it's not corresponding. If we are speaking about industrialization, then we are also speaking about increment
in terms of social grant. If you are also speaking about extending, you know, the social grant, particularly when there has been a proposal of, you know, the basic income grant, we must find a way to say, what is that that we are doing so that we should not continue depending on, you know, assistance or depending on the mercy of the government, because our national budget is bloated. Ask yourself this question. Why do you think until now there is no circular which was released? The government employment strategy is health. Because if you look at what is happening now, the priority is on health and education. But how are we going to address the issue of most of the graduates who are completing universities and they are still waiting to get into the system? That is something that you need to look at. But over and above is an aspect of what are we doing when we are being assisted. And it's a question also that should not only be asked to those who are getting assistance in terms of grant, who are getting assistance in terms of, you know, financial support to boost their businesses, or those who are getting grants in terms of, you know, a youth fund. But it's also a question that we should ask everybody, every individual who is, for example, working either for a government or for a private sector, to say, no, you get now an assistance through that opportunity that you got. What are you doing to make sure that you assist that of who is, you know, next to you, or that of, you know, who need assistance, particularly looking at the future? Because if you have to be honest and also look at, especially, I'm not speaking on behalf of young professionals, there was, one communication which was done to say an employed Namibian would direct or indirectly link to the assistance of around 15 to 20 people. That is how the situation is. If you look at the state of our poverty, if you look at our strategies also of, you know, borrowing funds, you'll be able to understand that as Namibians, we need to do more than what we are saying we are going to do. Because one will be also be able to understand that looking into the future, looking at where the country is going, to say, now we are in February, just March and April, university graduates are still going to come into the market. And they are still going to end to that number that we do not want to speak about. The question is that, what are we doing when we are assistant? And there is something that people don't really speak about. When you see somebody who has been in politics, or somebody who was in politics, and when that person was in politics, was speaking to say, not really being in politics for the sake of being in politics, this person was in politics, but he was occupying a certain position. But after that, that person, either the term is not extended, or he or she is not in line with the political alignment of the time, that person will continue to compete with us young professionals to look for employment. But when this person was in politics, this person was speaking about young people must be empowered, or people must be empowered. They should not only look into a government, or they should not only look at the private sector, and they might create their own employment. Then the question is that, why can't we find a solution to the real problems that we have in the country? Why can't we find solutions to the problems of, it's more than hypocrisy. Because if you have resources, you have connection, you have a network, I'm not saying you should go and you should not go and find a job, but at least you must have a tangible something that you are able to show that, okay, I was a minister of a certain industry, I was there for 5 years, and this is something that I'm showing that I have done, or this is something that I'm showing that I'm proving
to say that I have done for this country. Because if we are like that, then believe me, we are not going to motivate anybody. And we are going to have a long way to go, especially looking at where we are as a country. And also a question of asking to say, what are the new trends that when we speak about young people now, we speak about the Generation Z, especially what they've been called Amatuki. What are the new trend that the generation of the early 2000 is focusing on? Because there is an aspect to say, every generation must define its own future. Every generation must be able to define its own future. When you speak about those who are born after 2000, and they have proven us wrong, particularly with the results of last year, what agenda are they pursuing? Where are our young people? Are they assisting themselves when they are assisted? When we got assistance of subsidized free education, are we able to assist ourselves too to make sure that we do better than what we expected? Are we interested in the free education that we are given, or we are just doing it for the sake of doing it? And remember, as I indicated in my previous shows, especially looking at generations defining themselves based on times and situation, one must be very clear to say the young professions of 2030, the young professions of 2030 are those who graduated last year, those who are going to enter industries of 2030. And what does it mean? Have we looked at, have we analyzed the curriculums that we are giving to our students, particularly when we have already faced challenges that were contributed to the previous curriculums? How is the generation of 2030 going to enter the job market? And that is not like any other generation, because it's not only about Vision 2030 from Namib holding Parliament accountable. Because those are the things that we need to look at. Because a lot of people, they may look at the institution of the state by looking at executive, by looking at parliament, by looking at the judiciary as independent institutions, but not as institutions that require also, accountability, to say if you send everybody to parliament who went through the test of democracy through elections, then the whole year there is no bill which is passed. Then the question is, how should we hold those who we send to parliament accountable? Because it does not mean that all the bills that are blocked are the one that are proposed by the executive. It could be that there is something that legally need to be done, especially when it comes to hold those who we're supposed to hold other institutions accountable. Because there is no way, and if we are using our common sense, there is no way all bills are not yet passed. But it's only the budget bill. Because you know why the budget bill was passed? Because without the budget bill, there will be no salary. Without the budget bill, there will be, shutdown of government. But because of the budget bill, the politicians also have to save themselves. They have to all agree. And maybe it's another question also asking to say, how can we accelerate development through legal means of, holding each other accountable? Because one has to indicate also that if you are really serious about economic development, if you want to expand production. If you want to succeed in agriculture, if you want to bring young people to agriculture, you need also conducive environment. You need legal framework that is assisting these young people to partake. But if those who are supposed to hold each other accountable are not held accountable, how are we going to move forward? It's the same question that we also ask even the judiciary to say, is our judicial system really independent? Is our judicial system really able to be independent so that it can be able to allow Namibian people not only to be free, but Namibian people to have equal chance? Because if you have, for example, what we have in SA, where you have a brigadier within the police who at one point was in love with a mastermind, who at one point was in love with a suspect. And, you are talking about, the fair institution that is able not only to promote laws and order, but an institution that was supposed to serve justice, then you have a lot of questions that you need to ask yourself. Because if we are not yet at a point where we are looking at each other and questioning each other to say, why is our country not moving forward? Why are we not moving forward? Why are young people not partaking in food security? Why are our young people not interested in agriculture? Why are our young people, not having equal opportunities? Who is blocking who? Why do we speak about youth unemployment, but at the end of the day, what we are empowering ourselves? What plan do we have to the neglected generation? Because this Friday, we need to ask ourselves a question to say, although we are trying to assist those who are at university now or those who are at high school now, what about those who went through the system, then they were rejected by the market? Because if we leave that unattended, it will be a question that will still need to be answered. It will be a question that, will still, giving the future trouble. Because they are saying you have to go through a problem. You cannot keep diverting and dodging the problem. You have to go through that problem so that you can see what is on the other side. Dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at the aspect of economic development, and we are looking at things that affect bread and butter. Before we look at what will be in the content of our paper and what will be the discussion for today, it's quite paramount, and it's also quite important to understand that the main conversation for today, apart from looking at where we want to get as a country, is a conversation of collaboration. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, we earlier on have been speaking about collaboration to say partnership beat singularity, collaboration beat individualism, community beat an individualistic person, and that have been seen particularly when it comes to comparison between those who try to move solo and those who tried to move as a team. And when or before you look at this argument from an industrial point of view or from the business point of view, it's the same with strong families. And this is a lesson that we should also learn to say, when you look at the families around your village or around your town, you understand that the stronger, powerful, rich family is those that has people that are partnering with each other. The weaker, destroyed, toxic, and also unorganized family is that of which is only aligned with the few that have, but taking away the others that, you know, have skills or maybe have just a few skills, but they are not that close to the table. But the question is not to bring about just conversation on what is happening within, you know, individuals, but let us look at it at a national point of view and ask ourselves a question to say, could it be that when we have highest youth unemployment in Sande, could it be that because of lack of collaboration? Could it be that when we have the highest price of electricity in SADC, could it be because of lack of collaboration between institutions, private and government, when it's come to deal with this issue? Could it be because we have less than 5% in uranium mine, particularly Rosin? Could it be because of lack of sharing of knowledge, sharing of tactics and strategies on how to deal with our trade? Could it be because, could it be when we are getting more than 50% of our food supply from outside Namibia? Could it be because of, you know, lack of collaboration? And those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, because if we come to that point, then it's going to be very easy for us also to make a critical self-assessment and find a way to move forward. We can expand the conversation from electricity to energy to our program of nuclear and all those relevant conversations that can be able to upgrade Namibia. And could it be when we speak about national strategies and we achieve poor results, unmeasured results, could it be because we are not collaborating? We spoke a lot of plans. We celebrated, we laughed, and, you know, people clapped hands when people speak about electrification strategy. 70% of households in Namibia will be electrified, will have electricity by 2030. 70%. That has been the proposal. Could it be because we do not have data that are supporting our strategy, that we have a bigger gap between what we say and also, you know, what we have achieved? I will not say enough, especially, you know, when it comes to, especially when it comes to the aspect of data, because the main problem that we have is inaccurate of data, inaccurate of developmental data that affect our developmental strategic plan. We have untimely data. If you want to agree with me, just look at our statistics on tourism. Then you understand that we're in 2026, but we are still using the Namibia, you know, report of 2024, especially when it's coming to tourism statistics. How would that happen? Nobody knows. Maybe we are going to sort it out. Let's hope by April, Namibia will be able to have, you know, enough data that we are going to use when it comes to planning and implementing of those developmental, you know, program. Because one economist by the name Salomon Hay at one point indicated that you cannot say you are progressing when you are not measuring. You cannot know something that you cannot measure. You need the numbers. You need data. And just to maybe intensify that conversation of how much of the data do we have, how much of the research we are putting on
just maybe to continue speaking about, okay, if we are speaking about the expansion of the Namibian industry, if we are speaking about the creation of jobs in Namibia, do we have enough data and also statistics that can be able to assist us to reach that 500,000 jobs? And when we say about 500,000 jobs by 2030, what did we look at? And somebody have made a calculation. I don't want to repeat the same calculation to say, if we spoke about 500,000 jobs by 2030, how many have we created? Because if we want to be very serious about holding each other accountable, I'm not saying we should only look at the government. We should also look at ourselves to say, as a young person, what are those things that I'm not doing right? Where am I spending my time? What am I spending my time doing? What are my interests? Are my interests in line with my country? Am I indulging in things that are not supporting our national developmental priorities? So accountability should go across the board. And the issue of, you know, where we want to get into, and also the issue of, institutional success must be in line with, where we want to get into, particularly when it comes to national developmental priority. I'm speaking about this because when you look at the bigger picture, for example, when you look at the strategy of any institution, those who draft institutional strategies, what is called organizational strategy or strategic plan, it has always been at the center of the foundation of institutional strategy to say that organizational strategy, that national plan must be connected to personal plan. Because if you are not sharing the same interest with the institution that you are into, then it's already failure before you move. If Namibians up to now, they do not understand what NDP6 is, then it's already failure before it's launched. Those are the conversations that we should continue entering into. And yeah, for those of you coming on the radio for the first time, this is EMS with me, David Chombe. Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And this will also bring us almost to the end of our conversation, especially when today we got into the conversation with one of the farmers, and not only a farmer, he's a business person, a collaborator, and also an individual who has also opened our mind to say, when we are speaking about wealth development, when we are speaking about wealth creation, we must be able to think beyond the obvious. We must be able not only to think about, temporary wealth, but we need to think about long-term and sustainable wealth. And long-term and sustainable wealth is only found in things that you'll be able to need every day from today until at the end of this life, and that is food production, clothes, and everything that is related to agriculture. And looking at, just to summarize the conversation of Mr. Johannes Swanepoel, one of the things that he indicated is that when it comes to agriculture investment, agriculture is not for poor people. That is number one. And the second thing that he indicated is that the more you have passion for agriculture, the more you'll be able to yield. And the other thing that he also indicated is that some people are aiming for a fast life. But he gave an example of the aim of a young Namibian man in Windhoek or any other town of Namibia is to drive a Mercedes-Benz E or C class and showing, or ML, and showing people that you made it in life. But if we have to look at the economic part of things to say, can a Mercedes-Benz bring me anything in my pocket? Apart from maybe allowing me to get respect and also can push the deal to be signed. he indicated that that is not even closer to one of his tractors. And looking at the tractor that is parked at his farm, there are more than five. And that can already tell you a lot about the wealth that can come from agriculture. Not only that, even when you look at the equipment, even when you look at the investment, if somebody is telling you that they're harvesting 4,000 heads of maize per week and half ton of green pepper and butternuts, multiply that with the weeks that you have in the year. Look at the market. And also ask yourself a question to say, if we really want to get the vision of Memene Tumbo, if we really want to get to realize the vision of Tate Nuyoma or Vision 2030, if you really want a prosperous Namibia, if you really want, you know, Namibia where poverty is eradicated as it was initially proposed under Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2, even if those statistics are indicating that they did not reach their intention. But if you really want to expand that that plan and implement it, the question that we're asking ourselves is that, are we ready to collaborate with each other? But if you really want to expand, are we ready to work together with each other? Are you ready to combine the SME that you have with your partner, with your friend, with your competitor, who is not really a competitor, just somebody in the same business? Are you really willing to pull out, put your investment in the hands of somebody so that you can outperform the best? If we have answered to those questions, and if answer to those questions are yes, then there is no way that we are going to fail as a country. That's why when you speak about business, we speak about branded butter, we must speak particularly linked to what our ancestors have initially initiated. When you speak about Ubuntu, to say I am who I am because of other people, why should I not be who I am, seen through partnership with other people, than being seen through cutthroat competition at a lower scale? So, this Friday, when we are all going to our workplace, we must think about that. When we are all going to Valentine, we must think about that to say, there is more that we can do, particularly if we are united, because there is a saying to say, if the nation that is united cannot be divided. And when people are united, they are standing and they can achieve a lot, unlike us being individualistic. So the unemployment, which is above 50%, the electricity price, which is highest in SADC region, the food that we are receiving, more than 50%, even our soldiers are fed from outside, the energy that we supply to the world, but we still do not have energy, being the third largest producer of uranium, even though we do not have a uranium plant yet. That thing will only end when we collaborate with each other. So, dear listeners, for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mac to unpack the day. Bye-bye for now. See you around.